Good morning, my friends, and welcome to this special time together on the power of positive purpose. This is Dr. J. Scott Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont, thanking you for starting your day with me this morning. I would like to begin the idea that we're working with this morning with a understanding of freedom. And when we apply the understanding, we find ourselves thinking as if we have a fresh start. And maybe that's my commitment to you this morning, is to challenge you today to think as if you have a fresh start in this thing called life. We've shared this before, but I want you to think about it, because the foundation of this program, the lessons I teach every week on this program, come from an idea that is so inclusive that it embraces all thinking everywhere, at all times, everywhere. It is the realization of everything that has been, everything it will be, and within it, it is all happening at once. So I would like to challenge you today to consider the concept of a deity that is too universal to be defined by doctrine, too impersonal to be limited by dogma, yet too loving to be refused to anyone, anywhere. It's available to everybody. Why? Because it made everybody out of itself, and to refuse any part of itself would be absolutely ridiculous. It accepts itself, but it created you and me out of itself and then left us alone to discover that we are the power, that the power within us as us is us, if we want to call it God, infinite intelligence, divine mind. It doesn't have an ego problem, so it doesn't care what we call it. Dr. Ernest Holmes shares on page 459 of the Science of Mind textbook, "When we realize that God and man are one and not two, we shall love both. We have been challenged throughout the age to let our I be single, not dual, but single." I quoted Dr. Eric Butterworth the other day, who I absolutely love, and any books or experiences you can have with Eric Butterworth is well worth your time. Eric Butterworth said, "I transcend my limiting beliefs to a greater idea of truth and power." Well, I'm going to challenge you to transcend your limited beliefs today and begin to see from an unlimited possibility of self. We are told in the beginning God. Very interesting. We're also told in Genesis 1:31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Now, I don't believe there is anything in the universe that has changed its mind about this very good definition of its creation. In the beginning, God. This is our premise in life through metaphysical study, without superstition, without dogma, without creed, without hocus pocus. The clearest thinkers who ever lived were metaphysical minds who were able to critically think about life from oneness, not living in duality, thinking about oneness, but celebrating oneness, understanding duality. And there's a difference. The universe and all that is in you and me and everyone everywhere. It is everything we are. The clear thinkers have described the truth of ourself as spirit, soul, and body. It came from the one thing that is forever immersed in itself. We are forever immersed in it because we are it. And being part of this one infinite intelligence, we move through its law of action, bringing its substance into form by way of our thought, by way of our thinking. Now, the human experience has just barely perceived the great potential that is within each and every one of us. I know Dr. Ernest Holmes described the master teacher Jesus as a clear thinker that was born 5,000 years before his time, an example of what we can be, and this is why A clear metaphysician looks at Jesus as a great example, not a great exception. He never said, worship me. He said, follow me. He said, do what I do. And the reason he said, do what I do, is, in his own words, what I am, you are, and what I've done, you shall do in greater things. Well, I believe that's good enough to be true. And what he was pointing out, of course, is that once anyone sees something in a clear way and demonstrates it, they have just proven you can. And once you see anything in a clear way, you cannot go back and accept vague explanations of it. Now, again, we barely scratched the surface of the total realization of what we are. One of the surest ways to love and honor God is to love and honor everyone in your world. Why? Because the Spirit of God indwells everything and everyone. I believe that we are spirit that has form. We're not a body that has a soul we have to save. We are a soul that has a body. Now, if you have not seen evidence of God, perhaps it is because you have not really looked for it. You see, we only find what we're looking for. For example, if you want to find reasons today to be unhappy and alone and afraid and upset with life, I promise you, if that's what you want, you'll find reasons to do it. And if you want to be happy and find answers instead of problems, to find optimism instead of pessimism, my dear friends, that's what you will find. And remember, wherever your mind goes, your world follows. Now, if you have not today seen that you are already surrounded by and immersed in God and one with your fellow being, then maybe you need to look closer. And maybe you need to let your eye be single. The Apostle John says that if we claim we love God and do not love our brother and our sister, then we are lying to ourselves. You see, my friends, we must come to see that God works for us by working through us. That's the only way it can. It's not doing anything to us. It is moving through us at the level of our acceptance and becoming the event our consciousness allows it to be. We do not treat or pray for things. We treat and become the consciousness of the things we want. It seems essential if we think about it, that if we would see the divine in our own life, we must automatically begin to interpret our living in terms of the divine. And if our definition of the divine is infinite, it must include everything and everyone everywhere. So today I have a challenge for you, and that is to accept God's perfection. In the beginning of this day, as we move forward into the day, and know that it moves through every succeeding moment of this beautiful day, honor God's presence in yourself. And then you'll be able to honor it in every person without exception, because if you make one, you're excluding yourself. Know that every person you meet today is spirit made manifest. Greet that, not the behavior of that, because whatever the behavior is and whatever they are doing is the result of their choice. Pay attention to the choice you're making. See your world as an ever-unfolding expression of the infinite love that knows and knows it knows, and by means of you, it can forever know more and more and more and more. It's the principle of the more I know, the more I know there's more to know. The more I understand, the more I understand, there's more to understand. You see, you are part of infinite expression, forever unfolding, forever evolving. So the challenge is to live in the joy of this unity with all people everywhere and give thanks to infinite life. Why? Because your life expresses infinite life's good right where you are, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That includes you. You are the beautiful unfolding. You are, my friends, and you think about what I'm about to say. You are, in the history of this universe, the most precious thing that God ever created. What would happen if mankind could just wake up and realize how precious we are floating around on this little speck of dust in the cosmic universe with all this life and love and people and expression going on around us, and how little some people appreciate it. I think it was Carl Sagan who said, here we are in this little speck of dust floating around in the universe that goes on for billions and billions and billions and billions of eons and years and light years, that everything is forever expanding and it has no beginning and no end. It has nothing but unlimited possibility happening as it. He pointed out that only 1/1,000,000,000 of the planets out there had life on it. 1,000,000,000 of them would have life on it. But here we are in this little insignificant speck of dust in this universe that has billions and billions and billions of planets, sitting in a restaurant complaining because the waitress brought us peas instead of corn. How little is your commitment to complain today, my friends? How big is your ability to praise, to love, and to give your very best to what's in front of you? What I teach every time this radio program comes on the air is definite, concrete, practical, and you will never hear me say anything or teach anything on this program that you cannot prove and you cannot use to achieve a fuller life. I want this to be something that you would tune into every Wednesday morning and celebrate the fact that you did and have a better day because you listened to it. Not just hear it, but listen to it. You can hear it too.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you're hearing, you might also enjoy watching our videos on YouTube. Every week we post new Sunday lectures by Dr. J. Scott Neal, Reverend Dr. Cynthia Cavalcanti Neal, Reverend Lacey Atkinson, Reverend Mary Jo Sperry, and Reverend Darlene Sykes. We truly have some of the best speakers and teachers on metaphysics in Northern California. So check us out on YouTube by searching under CSL Fremont. You can also friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter under the same name. For more information on all our events, visit our website at www.csl-fremont.org. And now, back to The Power of Positive Purpose with Dr. J. Scott Neal.
Now, why does this principle work? This principle that I talk about every week, well, it works because there is one cause. And that one cause, which the great have taught us, is back of all manifestation. It is everywhere at once. One intelligence back of all consciousness. One spirit within every person, everywhere, and we are celebrating it and know that it does love the world by means of us. We no longer deny the reality of it in our own life. Why? Because we realize it created the forms and it created the individual experience, and the individual experience, you and me, we discover that we have been created as choosers. It doesn't choose for us, but it gives us the ability to choose either based on wisdom or based on ignorance. And sometimes we make choices based on ignorance, which does not mean that we are stupid. It just means we don't have enough experience yet. So our challenge is to learn what works and keep doing it, and what doesn't work and stop doing it. We look at thinking that makes us happy and we improve on it, and we look at thinking that makes us unhappy and we dissolve it. We choose to let go of it. You see, this is part of the application of the unity principle that is within everyone. Unity passes into what? Variety. The infinite passes into variety. The unity of the one life, God, everywhere at once, moves through us as us by way of law. It becomes variety. it becomes multiplicity without division, as Dr. Ernest Holmes used to say. Now, in each creation there is life. In each creation, this life brings its whole nature to bear upon every individual expression, no matter who you are, where you are, no matter what you believe, what your religion is, what your denomination is, what your race is, what your heritage is, what country you were born in. It doesn't matter. The individual expression is happening everywhere at once. And it only happened one time with all of us. That's why we're all important. As Emerson pointed out, that the universe never created two of anything. He said if there was two of anything, there wouldn't be any use for one of them. And when we know the wonderful uniqueness of our individual expression, we begin to celebrate ourselves in a way we've never celebrated ourselves before. Why? Because we recognize that every person's life not only has God, but all of God back of, within, and through it. Now that means you. You're not an exception. Now what is the significance of this? The significance of this, my dear friends, is that we, even though we dimly perceive it, by some interior awareness which everyone everywhere possesses, we, if we pay attention, sense the divine presence within us and know that we are part of it. I believe that everybody knows this, even if they deny that they know it. Jesus said we can search low here or low there for the kingdom. It is within us. He didn't say it was off in the sky by and by when we die. I believe we're immortal, and I believe that what's in front of us today is our moment in immortality we are responsible for. What are you doing with your moment today? Are you giving your best to it? It's never happened before, and it deserves you to give your best to it. And you deserve to give the best to it. Why? Because if you do, it will multiply and return to you. Everyone should feel this intimate relationship with Spirit. This is why the New Thought movement came into being, not to worship something outside of ourself, not to make the teachers more important than the teaching, the symbol more important than what it symbolizes, or the book more important than what it contains. Only truth is true if it points back where? To ourself. Now, again, everyone should be aware, feel, and celebrate this intimate relationship with Spirit. It has been the essence and the vitality of all religious conviction throughout the age, and throughout the age people have tried to explain it to themselves. But because of low self-esteem, they never quite understood what Jesus understood when he asked the question, "Don't you know you are gods? Our Father, which art in heaven, which he said is within us." In other words, this power that made us out of itself is the Father, or the power, or the cause of everything and everyone everywhere. Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, used to point out that he daily thanked God that the God most people believe in isn't. He said, "I daily thank God that the realization of God is the truth of God as you, as me." He pointed out that it says in the beginning that God created man in his own image, and of course man, not to be outdone, did the same thing to God. And unfortunately, if you look at the definitions of God in most of the religions on the planet, you will discover that what they are describing is a big version of themselves. Be aware of people who believe in an angry God, in a condemning God. And one of the most idiotic things anybody ever pointed out is we are a God-fearing nation. I beg your pardon. Jesus said God is love, and you don't have to fear love. We need to be responsible for it. Why? Because it produces what we think about. Therefore, we should be responsible for our thinking. Now, if we let go and listen to the wisdom of the age, it says go within and listen to your own wisdom. It's not coming from somewhere else. You are wiser than you think you are, dear people. You have more power than you think you have. You have more intelligence than you think you have. You have more creativity than you think you have. You have more ability than you think you have. You have more of everything you can conceive of that's positive than you think you have. Why not discover you have it and let go and be what you discover? Now, when we listen to this divine presence, what should we desire? Now, I know there's some of you listening who thinks you need to get rid of a desire. I got news for you. That is a desire. So if you desire only that which is right, only that which is beautiful, only that which is intelligent, guess what? You begin to move down the path of intelligence, beauty, the wonderful, and the wonderful becomes your way because you wake up and realize you are wonderful, full of wonder, full of light. We have in religious science the Centers for Spiritual Living, people that are defined as practitioners. These are dedicated men and women that have committed a great number of years to classes, to study, to get their bloated nothingness, as Emerson said, out of the way, so that they can see the truth of you, not to heal you, but to see what is already true of you, because in truth we know there is nothing to heal, there's only an idea to change. And we recognize that if we are accepting greater good, it may very well be God as the doctor, God as the medicine, God as the experience, God is the right opportunity, God as anything and everything that needs to happen for greater good to unfold. This is the acceptance of unlimited possibility and unexpected good from unexpected people, places, and things. And the reason we want it to be unexpected good is because if we expect it, we are limiting. So we know that our highest ideal is the starting point of our greater good that we are accepting, and that starting point is now free to let go and demonstrate itself as good or better than anything we could ever imagine. This is the law of cause and effect, and it is everywhere at once, and it operates all the time. You cannot turn it off. Now, it knows how to do anything we let it do. It knows how to take our thought and turn them into anything we are the consciousness of. And when we allow ourselves to change consciousness about a specific condition, the condition changes. These conditions will automatically correspond to our mental and spiritual acceptance. And my dear friends, this is real. It's actual. And when we embody this reality, which is above and beyond the way the world thinks, all of a sudden we find that our acceptance and our identification is doing what? It is changing our life for the better. Always. You are greater than you think you are. Always. My friends, we are on a great adventure. When we know what we are talking about and we understand the principle of cause and effect, we begin to see very clearly that we are some part of life that's wonderful. As I said before, the realization of this is the embodiment of acceptance and identification. So ask yourself today, what am I accepting and what am I identifying with? Some of the best advice I've ever received or ever heard or ever given, I guess, is don't hang out with little-minded people. Don't hang out with negative people. Don't hang out with limiting ideas. Don't hang out with pessimists. Don't hang out with losers. The reason is, if you choose to be positive or more positive than you have been in the past, what happens is when people go from the negative to the negative people around them think they're going crazy. And they will do everything they can to try to talk you out of it, primarily because if you choose to be the positive in action today, you might very well make some negative people in your world nervous. Why? Because you're proving them wrong. Why not prove Emerson right? We are what we think about all day long. Why not prove Jesus right when he said, "It's done unto you as you believe"? You see, when a person begins to wonder what life is all about and contemplate that, they discover they have taken the first step in philosophy that is maybe above and beyond what the world thinks, what duality religion thinks. If the guidance that you need is received, and remember, whatever you need to know, you'll know when you need to know it if you pay attention to the fact that you can know it when you need to know it. And if you do this, you will find that the knowing that you receive is guiding you. It's guiding you to a realization of beauty and joy and celebration and intelligence. You're arriving at the realization of the incarnate divinity whose life is expressed in all that lives, and that includes you, as I said before. You're not an exception. When this happens and you're aware of it, you will find yourself drawing upon this life, and you will discover that you have allowed yourself a new beginning. As I said in the beginning of this program, think as if you have a fresh start. Think as if you have a fresh start today. Express God's life today in a beautiful way today, my friends, and let the power of positive purpose be your wonderful way this wonderful day. This is Dr. J. Scott Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont, thanking you for sharing this time with me this morning, inviting you to join with us every Wednesday evening at 7:30, every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:30. Our address is 40155 Blake Owl Road in Fremont. Come down the Nimitz Freeway to Stevenson. Go toward the hills three blocks. You'll be at Blake Owl and Stevenson. You'll see the Arco station on the corner. Take a right and you'll be right in our parking lot. We would love to see you. And if you come see us, say hello to me and let me know that you heard about it on the radio.
Thank you for listening this morning. If you have enjoyed Dr. J. Scott Neal on the power of positive purpose, you might like to know this radio program is based on his book by the same title. If you would like to download a free chapter from his book, visit our website at www.csl-fremont.org/the-book. This radio program is made possible by the generous donations of our members and listeners. If you would like to support Dr. J. Scott Neal's presence on the air, visit our website at www.csl-fremont.org and click the button on the right-hand side that says Contribute Online. All donations, of course, are tax deductible. Even a small donation of $10 or $25 can go a long way to make this program possible. If you do not have internet access, feel free to call our office at 510-656-9955. We appreciate you listening and invite you to join us every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. right here on KEST Radio, 1450 AM.